From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo has not been getting along with other Democrats in the state this summer. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on Cuomo's comments about fellow Democrat and state controller DiNapoli, and New York U.S. Senator Charles Schumer makes two stops upstate. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Andrew Cuomo has not been getting along with other Democrats in New York this summer. For some time, Cuomo has appeared to have a feud with the Democratic mayor of New York City, but in recent weeks, the governor has directed increasingly scathing comments toward Democrats in the state assembly. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Governor Cuomo's ongoing feud with New York City Mayor de Blasio has been well publicized, ranging from arguments over charter schools to homeless policy, with de Blasio saying at one point he felt Cuomo had a vendetta against him. Now, increasingly, the animosity has been directed toward Democrats who are in the majority of the state assembly. Just after the legislative session ended in early summer, Cuomo announced state regulations to step up inspections at daycare centers in New York City and the rest of the state. A bill to do many of the same things failed when Democrats in the assembly did not pass it. Siding with Mayor de Blasio, he cited technical concerns over the way the measure was structured.
I'm not going to allow children to be abused because of political reasons.
Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie issued a testy response saying the governor should be the last one accusing anyone of playing politics and saying enough. After the child care dust-up, the Assembly Democrats held an oversight hearing on the governor's economic development policies, which are the target of a federal investigation. Cuomo's economic czar, Howard Zemsky, was grilled for over 2 hours by skeptical Democrats on the program's effectiveness. Zemsky afterward expressed annoyance at repeated questions about details of the Startup New York program, which has spent $45 million on advertising, but so far created just 408 jobs.
We can get into the weeds in the minutiae of it and lose the big picture. So I've answered that question. You heard the back and forth. I'm not going to go through it again.
Do you deny that they're inaccurate?
I'm not going to go through it again.
Now, Cuomo seems to be blaming the Democrats in the assembly for the economic decline of upstate New York.
The New York State Legislature should look long and hard in the mirror about what they did to upstate New York and how we wound up in the situation we were in, because it didn't have to be.
The governor spoke after an announcement in Buffalo marking the expansion of a Geico call center. He said both houses of the legislature sat on their hands and did nothing for decades while New York hemorrhaged jobs.
And all they did was make it worse by continuing to raise taxes and raise taxes and raise taxes and stifle businesses and stifle New Yorkers.
A spokesman for Assembly Speaker Hastie had no comment on the governor's latest charges. At that same question and answer session with reporters, Cuomo said Hillary Clinton, who was a senator for New York and who is now, of course, running for president, did not bear any responsibility during her years in office as a representative for New York for the decline of the economy.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but it is now the political silly season, and people are hammering people all across the board because it's the season for hammers. How significant Hillary Clinton as senator was supposed to be in developing jobs, I don't know.
The governor has also questioned the need for a pay raise for legislators, saying they should make a case before a pay raise commission and saying their job performance has not been great. And Cuomo stepped up tensions with the state controller, Tom DiNapoli, also a Democrat. DiNapoli has released audits that found Cuomo's economic development agency was not always operating efficiently. Cuomo says DiNapoli is dead wrong and needs to educate himself. DiNapoli says he stands by his audits. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Alan, this week you spoke with the head of New York State's Republican Party, Ed Cox. Always a fun conversation with the two of you. The issue, of course, of Donald Trump this week really making some statements that had folks interpreting his call for Second Amendment supporters to vote against Clinton, or was it to assassinate Clinton?
Okay, well, first of all, on Ed Cox, who is, of course, one of my favorite people, I don't agree with him on anything. He's a Republican chairman in New York State. He thinks Trump could win. He has to say that. He is supporting his candidate, Trump. When you press him on things like, who you got to run against Andrew Cuomo? The answer is basically, Rob Astorino, what are you kidding? That guy got wiped out the last time. How could it possibly be? Well, we got a couple of other people, but none of whom strike you or hit you in the eye. Same thing, by the way, when you talk about Republican candidates for mayor of New York, even with a severely weakened de Blasio. So his lot, Ed Cox, who is, of course, credentialized in that he was Richard Nixon's son-in-law and still is. But Cox is a very funny guy. He's easy to talk to. He has a role. He plays that role, and he plays it extremely well, even when he's got very little to work with. And I think this is going to be a year when I expect New York is going to be so anti-Trump, especially because the big population centers in Long Island and New York City, which are turning, you know, more and more Democratic, if that's possible, will vote against Trump. And when they come out to do that, they will go down line on their ballots and they'll find other Democrats to vote for. So this does not look like a happy year for the Republicans in New York State. However, you know, Trump continues to put his foot in his mouth or in other places. And, you know, you really say, all right, what's in it for Trump? Well, obviously, he doesn't have to spend a lot on publicity because every time he opens his mouth, there is a Trump story and it's on the front page of every newspaper. Whereas Hillary Clinton, the policy wonk, is still talking about policy. If she gets into the news, it's because some enterprising reporters come along and try to figure out where her money comes from. But this is not a country that spends a lot of time looking at policy issues that, of course, go directly to whether or not we live good lives.
One of the candidates he did poo-poo as a possible run against Mayor Bill de Blasio in New York City was the son of Trump.
Yeah, there has been a spate of stories in the contemporary press which basically say that the sons and kids of Donald Trump will run for mayor. You know, if Trump loses, then I doubt, and he doubted, that there would be a serious Trump Jr. candidacy, especially since Trump is so unpopular in New York City. And remember, Trump is a guy who's been preparing for years to be accepted by the denizens of New York by saying things like changing the Woolman Memorial Rink to the Trump ice skating rink and the carousel to the Trump carousel. Nevertheless, I don't think that there's any great signs that there's that kind of affection for the guy. So if you're Trump Jr. and you decide you're going to run for mayor of New York, does the Trump name help you? I don't think so. Now, if the guy were president of the United States, that would be a different story.
Cuomo, DiNapoli should educate himself on job creation incentives.
Well, listen, real background here, David. First of all, DiNapoli is immensely popular with his former friends in the assembly. How many of them are left, I don't know, but a lot of them are. The Democratic Party likes him. He's been before these microphones many times. He just does his job, he looks forward, and he takes a critical look, which he should, at various programs in New York State. And if there's something wrong, whether it's a school district or something else, he tells us. And he has a reputation for having turned around the controller's office. Remember, there was a lot of problems with it before he got there. Alan Hevesy went to jail as a result of his work there as the controller. So DiNapoli has turned it around and has gotten tremendous marks from everybody on that. He's a man of real integrity, and he's a very decent, nice, humble man. Into all of this comes the man with the name, Andrew Cuomo. Now, DiNapoli, while he is lauded by the insiders who know his work, not that many people really know who the guy is, but everybody knows the Cuomo name. In the meantime, columnists and others have started the usual troublemaking that they can by saying that DiNapoli might actually run against Cuomo in a primary. Well, this is enough to scare the hell out of Cuomo, especially since we know that many of the people around Cuomo are being seriously investigated by Preet Bharara, which is another whole story. But in any case, that guy, Cuomo, has to be somewhat worried about what people like Todd Howe, his former best friend, who is at least in one columnist's words, has signed an agreement to cooperate with the federal authorities. So here he goes to Buffalo, and he says DiNapoli should educate himself. Sorry, Andrew, DiNapoli knows what he's doing. He knows that if you promise jobs and you don't produce them, it's the controller's job to say that they're not being produced and that there are many false premises here on which this program is based. He said it, and now, of course, Cuomo is striking back. And we know that the relationship with Cuomo and DiNapoli did not start well. DiNapoli prevailed. He got elected, even though Cuomo was of no help to him, a fellow Democrat, when DiNapoli ran.
Meanwhile, a second politician, Hillary Clinton being the first, Chuck Schumer now says Preet Bharara Allen is doing a great job, but he won't reveal if he wants the prosecutor back under the next president. Hillary said she was noncommittal, at least, if she was elected.
I've been thinking a great deal about this. I'm very disappointed in those remarks. Here you have a guy who is fearless, Preet Bharara, as the U.S. attorney, who's hauling them in, one after another, whether they're mafia, whether... And apparently this does not sit well with some of the insiders. Now, if Chuck Schumer is elected as the number one Democrat in the Senate, remember that Chuck Schumer was Preet Bharara's boss. That's how Preet Bharara gets the job. Most people don't remember that it is the senior person of the same party who gets to name the U.S. attorney. The president theoretically does, but the way that the practice goes is that the senior senator of the same party as the president does get to make that appointment. However, I'm a little bit concerned that Hillary, who already said we'll have to see whether she reappoints the biggest crime fighter in America, the man who is beloved by the people but who is fearless. That made me a little uncomfortable, I'll tell you right now. It goes to what I call the Clinton character. Here's a crime fighter. The Clintons sometimes have a moral compass, which is not exactly on target. She's going to win this election, I think, because she's better than the alternative. But we still have to live with her issues. So along comes Chuck Schumer, who, if he is the top Democrat, is going to have to get along with the top Democrat in the country, who is Hillary Clinton. And therefore, when Chuck Schumer said the other day, we'll have to see, I didn't like it.
A lot of people don't seem to like Trump's words, which have, as the Washington Post points out, become a pattern. Outrage headlines, then denial. Donald Trump's suggestion that the Second Amendment people could stop Hillary Clinton from appointing Supreme Court justices they dislike appears to fall in line with comments that many voters are now finding increasingly distasteful.
Listen, David, Trump gets up there. His defense is that he didn't mean that people should go and kill Hillary, that Second Amendment people should kill Hillary. He's saying all he meant is that they should go out and vote against Hillary. That's fine. Nevertheless, here's a guy who's going to have his finger on the nuclear button, and he's not able to see a possible interpretation that will be made by people that he's calling for her assassination. Even if he didn't mean it, he should have known what he was doing.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. New York U.S. Senator Charles Schumer made a couple stops upstate this week, first at Troy Central Fire Station to promote legislation that would create the first ever national firefighter cancer registry, along with three major grants for the Collar City's fire crews. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas.
Schumer returned to Troy, fulfilling a promise he made at Central Fire Station last fall to get local firefighters more grant money.
I stood here at Troy Central Fire on a cold day in November, and we launched our push to get a critical grant, the Assistance to Firefighters program that bolster our fire departments, and we wanted to make sure that we weren't shortchanged. One of the problems was there had been a proposal to dramatically cut both the fire grant, the AFG grant, and the SAFER grant. And I said we'd fight to change that in the budget. And at the end of December, we achieved that. We got the money restored that some people wanted to cut.
The Democrat says the programs are still underfunded thanks to inflation.
Right now, only 22% of departments that apply for the AFG grant are successful, only 19% for the SAFER grant. But Troy's gotten both of them.
Troy has received $1.8 million through three grants, a $520,000 AFG grant for equipment and training, and $290,000 for the port security grant that will pay for a new Troy fireboat. The third grant of $970,000 will add seven additional firefighters to the city's roster. Frank Rosano, the president of the Troy Uniformed Firefighters, praised Schumer and Mayor Patrick Madden.
Last year, when members of the Troy Uniformed Firefighters Association met with Senator Schumer, we asked for his help with the SAFER grant, and he assured us that he was going to do everything in his power to help us. And I think today is evidence that the senator is a man of his word. I'd like to also thank Mayor Madden and his staff. Mayor Madden met with us when he was running for mayor, and he assured us that he was good with grant writing. And you know what? We got a lot of grants so far this year, and I think that that's evidence of Mayor Madden's history of being able to secure things that we need here in Troy.
Troy is already recruiting to fill those seven positions. Schumer promised he'll work to get more grants for Troy's firefighters.
They're amazing people. The camaraderie in the firehouse, the bravery. They run towards danger, not away from it. And we all breathe a little easier knowing they're there.
Schumer turned talk to what he says is a need for a national firefighter cancer registry, which would help doctors track and treat sick firefighters more effectively, pointing out that today's firefighters are exposed to harmful toxins, putting them at higher risk for cancer.
Newer buildings are made with all kinds of new materials. And those materials, when there's a fire, they get into the air. And our firefighters breathe them in, not just in the walls, but furniture, toys, clothing, all has all kinds of new things that weren't known 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. For instance, we've learned that flame retardant that was put in furniture and mattresses could get into a firefighter's lungs and cause real harm.
The cancer awareness came full circle after 9/11. According to Troy Assistant Fire Chief Eric McMahon.
We have a number of guys that went down to September 11th, and the research that's coming out, the information that's coming out, it's a little scary for the guys who are on the line.
Sam Fresina is president-elect of the New York State Professional Firefighters Association.
My colleagues and I have seen during that time many firefighters fall to illnesses, to various types of cancers, at a much higher rate than that of the general public. We have been to funerals, we've had to comfort families, and we've had to comfort our colleagues.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention would oversee the National Cancer Registry Schumer is pushing. Schumer, who was scheduled to discuss the legislation in New Rochelle and Poughkeepsie Tuesday, didn't give specific numbers, but said it's really not that expensive to establish the registry.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
The next stop for Senator Schumer was in Newburgh, where he said he'll introduce legislation that would require the Air Force to identify the source of water contamination there and pay to clean it up if a base nearby is responsible. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn reports.
Senator Schumer on Tuesday visited Washington Lake, the main source of drinking water for Newburgh that is contaminated with PFOS. The city is now drawing water from the Catskill Aqueduct while a carbon filtration system is designed, all being funded by the state. New York senior senator says he will introduce legislation requiring the U.S. Air Force to pay for the cleanup if, in fact, Stewart Air National Guard Base is found responsible for the contamination.
So the Air Force needs to immediately conduct tests so we can determine the extent of the contamination and, if found culpable, pay for the mitigation, as well as the release of a detailed timeline for cleaning it up. The people of Newburgh need answers, and then they need action, fast. The city of Newburgh and its residents deserve clean drinking water. They deserve to know their children are safe. And they deserve to see those responsible pay for the cleanup, not the taxpayers of Newburgh.
An Air Force spokesperson did not respond to a request for comment in time for this broadcast. Schumer says the bottom line is,
it's going to require the Air Force to get up from sitting on their hands and do the right thing for the city of Newburgh. I'm going to work to get this bill passed as soon as I can. As you all know, I've been calling for Congress to come back from vacation because of the Zika situation. But if they come back, they should do this as well. If they don't come back, we have to pass a budget in September. And I'm going to do everything I can to get this legislation in the bill in September so it'll be law by the time the president signs it October 1st, which is when we have to have a new budget.
The Democrat says that before the Senate adjourned for summer recess, he introduced an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act that required the Department of Defense to launch an investigation to determine the extent of possible groundwater contamination in Newburgh. However, Schumer's amendment was not included, and as a result, he will be introducing the standalone bill. Newburgh City Manager Michael Caravino says by requiring additional testing, Schumer's legislation could help identify other contaminants.
We have another opportunity to do more comprehensive testing. As this lake now remains unused, a lot of questions have come forward about what other contaminants may have been utilized at Stewart Air Force that are now in the water in Washington Lake, that is now in our waterbeds in Washington Lake. Before we're able to switch back to Washington Lake as our primary source of water, we need to have those questions answered. And I believe Senator Schumer's legislation is going to move the city of Newburgh in the right direction, namely reconciling with the truth and the historic uses that have been brought into our water supply.
The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation continues to investigate sources of contamination, and DEC Region 3 Director Martin Brand recently told WAMC the agency is closer to homing in on where to focus a full remedial investigation study after having sampled more than 100 locations.
All of this is still, strongly pointing to the primary sources being the Air National Guard base and some areas on the airport.
The DEC also has been investigating historic use and storage of PFOS-containing firefighting foam in the areas around Washington Lake and its tributaries. City of Newburgh resident Tammy Holland says her son died at age 18 in 2010, and she was told he died of natural causes after having felt sick for a few days.
After hearing about the PFAS and the PFOAs, and our tap water and our bathing water, just in our water in general, now I'm starting to think, was that a contribute to my son passing away? But not just my son. There's been two or three, maybe four young people who passed away right after my son. And so now I'm going to go and look into it. I'm going to look further and do a little more research.
The Environmental Protection Agency says studies have linked PFOS with potential health risks, such as birth defects and damage to the liver and thyroid.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. As for program number 1633, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.